The political adage that it's, quote, the economy, stupid, was on display in Cleveland last night, at least a bit, from Marketplace in New York. I'm David Brancaccio. So as you've been hearing, it is official. The word presumptive has now been dropped from the copy, and Donald J. Trump is now the Republican Party's official candidate for president. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is part of our team in Cleveland.
Day two of the convention was supposed to be about the economy, but the primetime speakers focused on other stuff, like Hillary Clinton. House Speaker Paul Ryan did say the whole economy feels stuck. But when it comes to economics, Republicans at the convention sure do have a lot on their minds. They told me they want more jobs created. One person said the country needs to be more secure before we can really prosper, that workers need to feel safe and secure before they can be productive. Another person told me he wants Donald Trump to give him specifics in tomorrow night's acceptance speech and not just say everything's going to be great. He's interested in trade, and he wants to know specifically how we could renegotiate trade agreements without antagonizing our partners.
There's more of our reporting from the convention in Marketplace's new pop-up podcast called Politics Inside Out, where we look at policy and our economy, not from the left or right, but through the lens of insiders versus outsiders. Go to where you sign up for podcasts or marketplace.org/inside out. Let's do some numbers here. The FTSE in London is up 0.25%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 3 to 4/10% range. There's word that the personal products conglomerate Unilever is buying Dollar Shave Club for $1 billion in cash. The Dollar Shave Club is like the old Columbia House Records by Mail Club, only with razor blades. A new report this morning from the Economic Policy Institute looks at the gender wage gap and finds unequal pay doesn't tell the whole story. Women still make 79 cents to a man's dollar, but that number is not adjusted to account for hours worked or for career choices. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has more.
This report looks at a bunch of research on two things: unequal hourly pay within professions and the ways women may be tracked into lower paying careers. Elise Gould is a co-author.
By the time a woman earns her first dollar, her occupational choice is a culmination of years of education, guidance by mentors, expectations set by those who raised her, hiring practices of firms.
Wages have even gone down in professions that have brought in more women. Claudia Golden is an economics professor at Harvard. She says the professions with lots of huge time demands and on-call work tend to be more unequal.
There are many sectors, mainly financial sector, business, law, in which women do relatively less well than men.
But she says if men were pushing for the same things as some women are, like flexible hours and time off to spend with their families, that would help. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
Now to the entrepreneur who seems to have cracked the great modern media challenge. She's taken her point of view, her voice, as it were, and starting with an online blog, figured out how to make money. Leandra Medine is founder of Man Repeller, which now describes itself as a, quote, judgment-free zone to talk about fashion, but with no topic off-limits for discussion. That's part of the new definition. The old definition is right there on the site, but ostentatiously crossed out. A Man Repeller used to be defined in part as, quote, she who outfits herself in a sartorially offensive mode that may result in repelling members of the opposite sex. Leandra Medine came by the New York Bureau to talk about this.
So the reason I crossed out that entry, and that was actually done pretty recently, is because when I launched Man Repeller, it was a very literal niche fashion blog. And so we were writing about trends that women loved and men hated. And a lot of those things need a definition. So we tried to make it really, really simple and literal. But as the site has evolved, the definition has changed so much. And it's not just a fashion site anymore. We cover culture and sometimes news, and our approach is really humorous. And above all else, we really nurture and foster a growing community. And we don't judge anyone.
But to some extent, your work is an antidote to some of the other ways that fashion has been portrayed. In other words, if you don't adopt this style, something's wrong with you.
I thought of myself, and I thought of my own children and what kind of world I want to bring daughters into. You're not stupid because you're interested in fashion, period. And that's the way that magazines may have made us feel.
A lot of folks have blogs. A lot of people have found their voices online. You figured out a way to make some money doing this. Give me a sense of how you went about thinking about, I hate to use the term, but monetizing some of this.
The opportunities really threw themselves at me to start. There was no real monetization strategy. It's so funny because Sophia Amoruso, the founder of Nasty Gal, is a close friend of mine. And we sort of came up together. And when I was just launching Man Repeller and Nasty Gal was really new for her, too, she reached out to me and was like, hey, I'd like to advertise on Man Repeller. And I was like, okay. That will be $2,000 for an ad that will last on the site for 1 week. And she was like, okay. And that was the way my first transaction occurred. I didn't understand what impressions were. I didn't really care about clicks. And to some degree, I still kind of don't. But it took realizing that monetizing my website was not going to affect the quality of the content and was in fact going to support better quality content to come up with the current strategy, which is very much motivated by integrated stories.
And so there are lines of fashion that have your brand now?
Yes. We've done clothing collaborations with brands. That's mostly been vanity stuff. Those aren't meaningful profit-generating partnerships for me, but it's been a really unique way to test out designing without having to incur overhead costs.
Leandra Medine is founder of all this, Man Repeller. Leandra, thank you.
Thank you.
On her site right now is, for instance, a piece about radically cooler things a man repeller could wear in the workplace. The lead reads, "Let's start with the universal truth. The world is a big stinky place full of arbitrary rules. Donuts are for breakfast. Sneezers must be blessed. Pajama sets belong in bed." Goes on from there. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.